Some say COVID-19 was an act of nature. Others say it was an accident. And still others say it was an act of war. And so we pile on once again to ask, did the University of California fund the development of COVID-19?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1280th edition of the Food Chain Radio Show. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in Ushuaia who are tuned into the Food Chain podcast as we stream along at metrofarm.com. But whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, not knowing the who, what, where, why, and when of the COVID-19 pandemic, most everyone speculates. Some say the pandemic started when someone ate a bowl of bat soup in a Wuhan wet market. Others say it began when the novel coronavirus leaked out of the laboratory at the Wuhan Virology Institute. And still others say it was an opportunistic bioterrorism to destroy the world's economy and get rid of that mean old American President Donald J. Trump. At this time, there is no answer to the who, what, where, why, and when of the COVID-19 pandemic. Though there are no answers, there is a lot of searching for them by those who are curious. What the searchers are finding is a vast worldwide network of money and people who call to mind a 1961 warning given by President Dwight D. Eisenhower, who said, "Beware of the military-industrial complex." Today, we once again call your attention to COVID-19's military-industrial complex so that you can beware. We begin by once again placing a question on the table, which we hope you will take seriously. Did the University of California fund the development of COVID-19? And once again, we ask Alexis Baden Mayer, who is the political director of the Organic Consumers Association and the author of the white paper series, Gain of Function, Hall of Fame. Welcome back, Alexis.
Thanks so much, Michael. Great introduction. I think you're so right about the parallels between this and the military-industrial complex. Jonathan Latham calls it the pandemic-industrial complex.
Well, I think we're on to something here. And what one of the pieces of evidence was your work that you did for the white paper series, Gain of Function, Hall of Shame. You profiled a bunch of people involved in this military-industrial complex of COVID. And so that's where we're going to go today. But first, I'm going to ask you again, why is the Organic Consumers Union working on this and not the New York Times or the Washington Post or NBC or ABC or CBS or any of them? Why?
Well, I have a new answer for you on that. And, one answer is that Bill Gates, who is an important member of the pandemic industrial complex, he gives millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars to media outlets around the world. But because of our talk last week, I started digging into Google and Google's relationship with the pandemic industrial complex. And I noticed that they work closely with the Hearst media empire. And of course, they are basically the funnel through which all media travels. There's, virtually no one who doesn't Google something when they want to know it. And Google has been heavily invested in all aspects of the pandemic industrial complex, from virus hunting and manipulation. They helped launch the company Metabiota, which was also a Wuhan Institute of Virology partner. And now Metabiota is selling pandemic insurance. So there's just so many financial interests in this pandemic industrial complex. But a lot of them have their tentacles into the news media and how we receive our news.
Wow. Yes, and I knew that Google was involved. I did not know the extent that Google was involved. And of course, who does? Because they don't really broadcast that fact. And in fact, they tell the rest of the mucky mucks in media not to talk about it. So we don't know it. And there you go. So quickly, why on earth are we weaponizing viruses with these gain of function research?
Well, I guess I've come to the conclusion that it's a money-making opportunity. There's a lot of public dollars to be gained for this research since the 9/11 anthrax attacks. A lot of military money was funneled into the public health space, and then you got a lot of public health that looks a lot like biodefense or bioweapons research. But the excuse that the scientists give does make sense on some level. What their argument is that many viruses have originated in animals and leapt to human beings. They cite AIDS and Ebola as examples of that. I'm not so sure about that myself anymore, given what I learned over the last almost 2 years now. But that's their excuse. And they say that they want to get ahead of this phenomenon by going out to the caves where the bats live, and going out into the bush where the primates are, you know, finding these animals, sampling their blood and their feces, looking for viruses that haven't yet leapt from animals to people. And then they take them back to the lab and they figure out if these viruses were to mutate in a way that made them more deadly or deadly at all, you know, transmissible to human beings, how would that happen? And so they take a virus that's actually harmless to human beings, and they manipulate it in the lab until it's harmful to human beings. And then they keep going and see how far they can push it, how deadly, how transmissible they can make it. And that's why so many people wanted to know if there was a lab in Wuhan that was doing these types of gain-of-function experiments, and indeed there was.
And there was. It seems like there are two reasons to take a harmless virus and turn it into a microscopic man-eating monster. One reason would be to start a pandemic, and the other reason would be to end a pandemic. And in both of those reasons, or can you think of another reason?
I mean, there's the pure science reason. I think that scientists do get excited about what they can accomplish with genetic engineering and synthetic mm-hmm. biology and animal experiments in the lab. And so there's just, you know, there's that, you know, we can do it, so let's do it.
Okay. But why? Okay. I guess we could go around the circle on that one. So I'd like to pick up the people that you have profiled in Gain of Function Hall of Shame, because they're really illustrative of this COVID-19 military-industrial complex. And I start with Peter Daszak, because Peter's name popped up right at the beginning of this whole thing and is continuing to become a major player by virtue of the fact that when the World Health Organization went back to Wuhan and to the Wuhan Virology Institute to snoop around to see if they could figure things out, Peter Daszak was with them. So who is he?
Well, he's one of the Wuhan Institute of Virology's largest funders and collaborators. And he actually is funding, you know, he's taking government funds that go to the EcoHealth
Alliance. Who's government's funds?
Well, all sorts of government funds. So we've got USAID is a big funder. So, you know, funds that should be going to positive development in foreign countries to bring goodwill from the United States to foreign countries. USAID, that's their job, but they've been hunting for and manipulating viruses. And then, of course, you've got the bioweapons establishment. So the Pentagon and the Department of Defense, they have a whole department called the Defense Threat Reduction Agency. And that outfit was initially supposedly to take the bioweapons labs in former Soviet Union satellite countries that are now independent and find peaceful uses for the bioweapons technology and the bioweapons experts. Mm-hmm. But as far as I can tell, it looks like, you know, there's probably still, you know, they call it biodefense. They say it's for peaceful purposes if it's defensive, although I think that's a violation of the Biological Weapons Convention, which does say only peaceful purposes. I don't think you can, you know, derive defensive military purposes from peaceful. But this is who's making this go round. You know, it used to be primarily in the military establishment. It moved to the international development establishment. And now with the pandemic, I think that, you know, more way will be paved for more money to be going to this type of research just on the basis of public health alone, although I don't think it contributes.
So what you're telling us is that the United States government and a bunch of other organizations give money to Peter Dzok, who funds gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Virology Institute and other institutes all over the world.
That's right. He's gotten more than $100 million from the U.S. government. And then he has collaborators all over the world. He was working with the Wuhan Institute of Virology at their new biosafety level 4 lab. And the Chinese military and the Chinese government gave a tremendous amount of funding, obviously, towards that lab. But France had a hand in setting it up.
I just saw recently in 2009, Hillary Clinton wrote a memorandum to France saying, what the heck are you doing building a bioweapons lab in China? The wrong people could see this. This was in 2009. So they've been running this for a long, long time. Now, Peter Dzok, when the virus went pandemic on the world, Peter Dzok organized a whole bunch of scientists, and they wrote an open letter in Lancet that said, if you say that the virus leaked from a lab, you are a merchant of lies. So you are a conspiratorialist. You are wrong, wrong, wrong. And that letter in Lancet was so profound that people shut up.
Yeah, and then it turned out, because of the FOIA requests that were done by U.S. Right to Know, we found out that was coordinated with Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins at NIH and the National Institutes of Allergies and Infectious Diseases. So that's one surprise, that you wouldn't expect that independent scientists would be coordinating with the U.S. government on
how to cover something up.
Yeah, cover up, I guess, is a better word.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, Alexis, but when we come back, we'll pick that up and move right along on the Gain of Function Hall of Fame. But whenever you see the name Peter Dzok, EcoHealth Alliance, pop up, you got to realize that this man is the proverbial tip of the iceberg. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, right back with Alexis and you.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, Dwight D. Eisenhower in 1961 told the American people, beware of the military-industrial complex. We are just becoming aware of a military-industrial complex behind the COVID virus, the coronavirus. Imagine that. Is it possible? Is it true? Or are we seeing a mirage? Peter DeZock says we're seeing a mirage, but he got $100 million to fund gain-of-function research around the world. And he says it's impossible that that virus leaked out of a laboratory. Let's move on with some of the other very interesting people we have. Dr. Ralph Baric. Alexis?
Yeah, Ralph Baric, he ended up signing a statement with other scientists saying that we need to investigate a lab leak. So he hasn't taken on the same public role that Peter Daszak has. But if we find out that the Wuhan Institute of Virology is the place where COVID-19 emerged, it will be because of Dr. Ralph Baric's research, which took place at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, but was done in conjunction with Xizheng Li and the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Now, Xizheng Li, who became world famous as the Batwoman of Wuhan, was she part of the Wuhan Virology Institute while she was working with Dr. Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina?
Yes, and she was funded by EcoHealth Alliance and Peter Daszak at that time. And what they are truly infamous for is a 2015 article where they published news that they had used genetic engineering and synthetic biology to create what they identified as a new bat SARS-like virus that can jump directly from bat hosts to humans. So, you know, they still couch it in this natural origin framing, but they made it in the lab and they had it found. You know, they didn't find this virus that could jump directly from bats to humans in nature. They made it, but they made it. And then they say, this proves, because we created it out of genetic engineering and synthetic biology, this proves that these viruses can jump directly from bats to humans. It doesn't make sense to me.
And yet they were very proud of it. They wrote it up. They said, look what we made through genetic engineering and synthetic biology. We turned a common, ordinary coronavirus into a microscopic man-eating monster. And we have it in a bottle here, of course, so it can't get out. But we made it. So Xizheng Li was an assistant researcher with Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina, and they made this device, this bug.
Her role was to collect the viruses, and then she sent them to North Carolina, and Baric did the genetic engineering. But one of the interesting things about where she got these viruses is that she was collecting viruses with Peter Daszak in 2012 in Mojiang. And at that same time that they were collecting viruses, there were people who were also coincidentally shoveling bat poop out of caves. And, you know, I really wonder if these two things are connected, but I don't have any evidence that they are, that got sick. The men who were shoveling out the caves where the bats lived, they were old mine shafts. They got a SARS-like virus. This happened in 2012. One of them was in the hospital for 6 months. And when viruses live in a new environment, they take on new traits. They can mutate very rapidly. So, you know, supposedly it's outside of any connection to Peter Daszak and Xizheng Li, and supposedly they got these bat viruses naturally. But one theory about how, you know, what happened, like how did SARS-CoV-2 emerge? How was it created? One philosophy on it, or one theory, is that it was through synthetic biology and genetic engineering, the way that Ralph Baric did it. But it also could have happened in this scenario in 2012 that Dajak and Xi kept hidden until 2020, when there was so much pressure on them to admit that this happened, because it was found in PhD theses that were uncovered by snooping scientists in China. So eventually it came out how they had collected these viruses. Now, they don't claim in any of their papers that the viruses they experimented on were sampled from human beings. But we know that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was collecting samples from these sick miners in 2012. That's a horrible scandal on its own. And that's probably one of the reasons why, you know, they've worked so hard to cover all of this up.
Okay, so moving right along, we have this doctor by the name of Anthony Fauci. Well, I'm going to go back to Ralph Baric for a couple things. One is that he was famous for inventing humanized mice. Why would he do that?
Well, if you don't happen to have sick people laying in a hospital that you can take these mutating viruses from, then the second best thing is to have humanized mice. And you can give the humanized mice a virus that you want to make more deadly or more transmissible to humans. And it will naturally develop mutations inside that model, inside the humanized mice. It will develop those mutations, and it will become deadlier, and it will become more transmissible. And it will develop, you know, it's very possible that you could develop the special furin cleavage site that makes SARS-CoV-2 so deadly to human beings. That is unknown in nature. There's no related coronavirus that has this, no closely related coronavirus. There are coronaviruses, but not closely related bat coronaviruses that have this special furin cleavage site that makes it so deadly. And so one theory is that, you know, you could engineer it, you could find it in a sick person, or you could artificially induce this to happen in a semi-natural way by putting this virus into humanized mice.
And then running them through the mice cycle after cycle after cycle until you get what you're looking for.
Yeah, and that's usually mixed with genetic engineering. So they can quickly survey the genome to see what changes happened, and then they can tweak them a bit, and then they can put them back into the humanized mice. And so it's probably, my guess is it's probably a combination. If this virus came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which we don't have the smoking gun evidence yet because we don't know who the first person to get SARS-CoV-2 was.
And we don't know that because China's not saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but if we find out, my thought is it's probably all of these techniques being used together. And then I guess a fourth would be the creation of a vaccine. And so if they used all these techniques to create a pan-coronavirus vaccine, that would be another place where you could have, you know, this research could be done to create live viruses. And it also could be the source of whatever accident happened.
Gosh, you could almost create a pandemic and then stop a pandemic. And in that business model, I think there's a lot of money. But when this pandemic first broke, beginning of 2020, I snooped around and Dr. Ralph Baric's name popped right up. And so I called him up and I said, Dr. Baric, will you join me on the Food Chain Radio program to tell us what the heck is going on? And he said, I have absolutely no time for this.
That's funny, because I heard him in other, I was researching him too, and I found him in other podcasts. I found him in sort of like academic university podcasts about virology, but he was asked about this, and he admitted in a podcast, he was like, yeah, proximity is a problem for the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And what he didn't mention is that he was working with them, and they likely had in their databases and physically in the Wuhan Institute of Virology viruses that he manipulated himself.
And sent to them.
Exactly.
Exactly. Wow. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who has appeared on at least 100 million television programs with respect to the coronavirus pandemic, who is he and what is he doing here in this COVID military industrial complex?
Well, I guess his primary role is as a funder. He runs the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH, and he's been in that role since 1984. And so, you know, he basically gets to decide what U.S. scientists study. And after 9/11, he was very proud of his efforts to make sure that the uptick in military biodefense spending went to the private sector, went to universities, and went to scientists. And he said, if I didn't go out and get that money for you, it would have been, you know, the Pentagon would have spent it somewhere else. So he has definitely militarized and moved towards biodefense. A lot of the research done in the United States, and he has a special interest in gain-of-function research. Now, I saw the movie Plandemic, and they identify Anthony Fauci as somebody who likely knew that there was going to be a pandemic.
Now, well, he said there was.
Yes.
He said, I think at the beginning of the Trump administration, this president will face a new pandemic. It will face a new pandemic. He said it.
He did. And you know, in a way, you can say, well, he basically said that same thing every year. Because that's how the scientists make their funding pitch. They're like, you know, one of these days we're going to have another pandemic, and that's why we need to be spending so much money on it. So I was pretty skeptical of the plandemic thesis for that reason, that he had like special foreknowledge, that he had made this happen in some way, that he was responsible in some way. But, you know, it was very clear that a lot of the funding that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was getting was coming through EcoHealth Alliance, which had gotten it from the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. So there is that connection as well. But
it's almost as if Fauci was laundering COVID money through EcoHealth Alliance, who would give it to the Wuhan Virology Institute, which is run by the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, there's that for certain. And then the other aspect of it is that, you know, I didn't realize how much Anthony Fauci, how important it was to Anthony Fauci to fund this extremely controversial gain-of-function research. That was the part that I had to be convinced of through my own research. But, you know, I found it.
What is it?
Well, before Ralph Baric with his bat virus that he invented himself that can directly infect human beings, that was incredibly controversial back in 2015. But before that, in 2012, the most controversial research that was being done was taking bird flu, which was going, you know, and especially in a factory farm setting, the birds get pretty sick. That's why they're, you know, that's why they're given antibiotics. They live on antibiotics. It also makes them plumper. So that's one reason. But it's hard to keep the birds healthy in a factory farm scenario. And they get bird flu, and sometimes the bird flu leaps to human beings, especially poultry workers. But what these scientists were anticipating, which hasn't ever happened naturally, but they did this in the lab. They took the bird flu and they made it transmissible directly from person to person, whereas in nature and in even the worst factory farm setting, it had only ever gone from bird to human being. So this was tremendously controversial research. And And Anthony Fauci was actually it was his idea to do this. He wanted it done. He was the one who pulled together a commission, who organized the funding, who picked out the scientists, the two infamous scientists who worked on this, Kawaoka and Fauci. They did sort of competing studies, but both of these studies were funded by NIAID and Fauci. And what I was shocked to find when I looked at this funding is Bill Gates also was recruited by Anthony Fauci to fund the most controversial gain-of-function experiments of all time.
Oh, my goodness. What was it? Well, wait a minute. You know,
I mean, that was it. Because bird flu is the one where, you know, like if we had a bird flu, it's very deadly.
So Fauci talked Bill Gates into funding the bird flu coronavirus.
It was essentially like if this had been the pandemic, it would have been much, much worse than coronavirus. Coronavirus compared to bird flu is a mild disease. And
so then there is a virus out there in somebody's can
lots of them. There are probably dozens, if not hundreds, of labs around the world that have these bird flu samples and that have the souped up versions of the bird flu. Because
hold that thought. We're going to take a quick break here. This is the Food Chain. Michael Olson with Alexis Baden Meyer, political director of the Organic Consumers Union and author of the Gain of Function Hall of Fame. And ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, we're going to learn how the University of California participated in the development of COVID-19. Right back.
You can earn a substantial income by farming for the city. All you need to do is take your crop to market and win the competition for the consumer dollars. There is a well-proven strategy for winning this competition. You will find it embedded in MetroFarm, the guide to growing in or near the city for the city.
Polyface Farms, Joel Salatin.
Few how-to books could be more appropriate for our times than MetroFarm, a truly comprehensive manual. MetroFarm makes the whole embedded food system doable. It's a must-read.
USDA Director Bud Kerr.
Big book. MetroFarm describes the agronomic, economic, and managerial concepts required to generate substantial profits from agricultural locales near metropolitan areas.
Before you plant your seeds, pick up a copy of the Ben Franklin Book of the Year award-winning MetroFarm. Then plant your seeds and win the dollars. MetroFarm.com. MetroFarm.com.
Hi, folks. How many of you out there love to garden? Wouldn't it be nice to grow some of your own food? Or maybe a flower garden would brighten your day. Well, now you can have the pleasures of gardening without all that effort. You don't need a tractor. You don't need a rototiller. All you need is the Knox Garden Box, a heavily constructed, portable, elevated garden on legs that can virtually change the way you've gardened in the past. The Knox Garden Box can be set up anywhere. Yes, you can place it right on concrete. For those with bad backs, you've got critters and gophers, no space or maybe no dirt. With the Knox Garden Box, the therapy of garden is now the prescription for good mental health. The way to find your fabulous Knox Garden Box is by logging on to knoxgardenbox.com. That's K-N-O-X, gardenbox.com. Or by calling 831-461-9430.
History buffs. This tale from Michael Olson's Tales from a Tin Can took place while the USS Dale steamed through the Bering Sea, January 1943.
We took some terrible waves up there. One time a big groundswell rolled us over so far I thought we'd never make it back. I was on the lee deck when the ship went over into that roll. Luckily, I was able to grab onto a bulkhead handrail, and when the Dale went over, my feet left the deck. I hung there with nothing between my feet and the ocean but air. I was scared. She went over on her beam, paused for a minute, then she shuddered and shook because one of her propellers was out of the water and thrashing air. Slowly, very slowly, she rolled back toward the vertical, and my feet found the deck again. That wave scared the devil out of me.
Tales from a Tin Can contains 424 tales by 44 sailors aboard the USS Dale, from Pearl Harbor to Tokyo Bay. Order your Father's Day copy at talesfromatincan.com. That's talesfromatincan.com. Talesfromatincan.com.
So much to say, so little time to say it, on The Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a story that has involved all of us, every one of us in the entire world. We've faced this problem of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're looking at what appears to be a COVID-19 military-industrial complex involving well over $100 million in scientists all over the world giving viruses, common ordinary viruses, turning them into additional properties, weaponizing them, turning them into microscopic man-eating monsters. And how in the heck did Bill Gates get involved in all that, Alexis?
Well, I think Anthony Fauci directly reached out to him about getting the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to fund his pet project to create bird flu that was transmissible among human beings.
And so we have a bird flu out there waiting to hit the streets from who knows how many of them there are out there. So let's go back to Ralph Baric and Shijun Li at the University of North Carolina. They have invented a virus that can turn into a pandemic. Somehow the Obama administration stepped in and said, funding for this effort, this transformation of this coronavirus into a killer virus was funded by Peter Daszak of EcoHealth Alliance, who received, as I understand it, a $44 million grant from the University of California, Davis. Is that true, Alexis?
Yeah, Peter Daszak, I'm beginning to believe, is a designated expendable figurehead for the pandemic industrial complex. And really, it's people like Jonna Mazet at the University of California who is more, she's a bigger kingmaker than Peter Daszak, because she sits on a much bigger pool of money. And, you know, Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance has gotten over $100 million since 2003. But Jonna Mazet's One Health Institute and her Global Virome Project and the PREDICT project that was funded by USAID, that's like about $300 million right there. Peter Daszak briefly had his funding yanked, and the Republicans in Congress are continuing to figure out ways to defund the Wuhan Institute of Virology, to stop money going to Peter Daszak as long as he's working with them. And really, we're missing this big, big pile of money over here that's controlled by John and the
Zay. So it's kind of like the magicians doing some sleight of hand.
It looks like it.
Yeah, we'll give the money to Peter Daszak, who will give it to who we want him to give it to. But Peter's kind of like the bundler, a political bundler who collects political donations from people who don't really want to be known to the public, but do want to be known by the politician.
Yeah, that's a good point, because if this money had gone directly from Jonna Mazet and the University of California to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, then a larger pool of money would be at risk. And through channeling it via EcoHealth Alliance, they're minimizing the risk to their whole establishment.
Wow. And so this money went to the Wuhan, so the University of California, Davis, by virtue of its PREDICT project, gave $44 million to Ralph Baric and Shijun Li to develop a weaponized coronavirus. Now, the Obama administration steps in at some point along the line and says, hey, we're going to pull the funding for this. So Shijun Li takes the weaponized coronavirus to the Wuhan Virology Institute. Am I tracking right here?
I mean, I would assume that she has copies of everything that she worked on with Ralph Baric, but we don't actually know because we haven't done an investigation yet.
Right. So nobody's looking under the rocks there. But anyway, this will be Michael Olson's speculation, and I might be speculating wrong. I might be like Peter Daszak said, pitching a conspiracy here that he did a good job of covering up. But at any rate, Obama administration pulled the funding. The project moved with Shizheng Li to the Wuhan Virology Institute, but it did not stop there. It kept going. And as I understand it, Ralph Baric kept Dr. Ralph Baric from the University of North Carolina kept working on it there.
It's entirely possible. That is a very legitimate theory. We don't have, we just haven't done an investigation of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So we don't know exactly what viruses they had that they were working on. And they took down their database at the end of 2019 to prevent us from knowing what they had in their catalog physically. But, you can only assume that collaborators are keeping copies of one another's viruses.
So, and why not? I guess they're a pretty valuable thing now. What do we know about the Wuhan Virology Institute?
Well, one funny thing, not funny really, but one odd thing that I ended up stumbling across, I was searching to find out, what papers were funded by the Pentagon through the Defense Threat Reduction Agency that had Wuhan Institute of Virology researchers' names on them. Because it was interesting, I couldn't help, this isn't my favorite theory, but I couldn't help wondering about what the Chinese say. The foreign minister of China, he'll throw out every once in a while, he'll say, the U.S. military brought this virus to the Wuhan military games. And this is a U.S. plot. It's a U.S. military action against China. And, that seems kind of preposterous to me. I haven't seen any good evidence. There have been some weird things that have happened. There's a true conspiracy, peddler, George Webb, who puts out all these crazy things online. And one thing happened that was super odd. There were two military doctors from Fort Belvoir who were murdered in the last few weeks. And I was very interested in this and wanted to find out more. And George Webb is not a source of good information. He does things on YouTube. He sells books that are screenshots of his YouTube videos. So he never has citations and he makes up crazy stuff that I can't verify. So I haven't really spent much time going down that rabbit hole. I don't think it's very fruitful. But I did figure, at least we can see where is the Pentagon funding the Wuhan Institute of Virology? And is there a direct relationship there? There certainly people have exposed direct relationships between Ralph Baric and USAMRID, the military labs at Fort Detrick. They go way back, so he's been a longtime collaborator there. And I wanted to know we know that Eco Health Alliance is funded by the Pentagon. How about the Wuhan Institute of Virology directly or in collaboration with others? Who else gets Pentagon funding that the Wuhan Institute of Virology collaborates with? And I did find a paper about viruses in India that had created a big kerfuffle because when people in India found out, and this was before the coronavirus, but when people in India found out that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was working with Pentagon funding, collecting viruses in India, they, the rest of the world is pretty skeptical of the United States. I don't think Americans, myself included, we don't really get this until we start reading the press in other countries. And people do not want the U.S. military collecting viruses in their countries and experimenting on them. They think the United States military is up to something when they do that. And so, makes sense to me. But so So the Wuhan Institute of Virology has these weird connections to the Pentagon, not just on coronavirus, not just EcoHealth Alliance. And the other, you know, that's really strange when you realize that that China basically, you know, the Wuhan Institute of Virology is a state lab. It's part of the Chinese government. It's controlled by the Chinese government.
The Chinese Communist Party.
That's right. And then when anything happens, they can exert 100% control. So as soon as the virus emerged in Wuhan at the end of 2019, you had a military general in charge of the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And then there are the folks who talk about how the Chinese probably created a bioweapon and released this deliberately. There's a whistleblower from Hong Kong who had worked with the World Health Organization, Li Mengyang, and she's come to the United States and she is talking about this on Fox News, and she's, you know, going to expose the Chinese military's involvement in the creation of this virus. And I read her papers and also didn't really feel like there was good evidence for, you know, what she's alleging. It's a big thing to say that a government created a bioweapon to unleash on the world and now millions of us have died. You don't say that without extraordinary evidence. And I don't think she has extraordinary evidence, but she does point to some interesting things because, you know, while Peter Daszak, EcoHealth Alliance, WIV, Barrick, and the rest are you know, crafting very dangerous viruses at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, at the same time, the Chinese military is doing the same thing. They're virus hunting. They are using genetic engineering and synthetic biology. And so Li Mengyang says that what Xi Zhengli had in her lab wasn't just Ralph Barrick's virus. She had lab-created viruses that were funded and produced by, collected, manipulated, and produced by the Chinese military. And she points to published work that is, you know, that the Chinese military is on record doing this, just like the Pentagon is. And so yeah, we've got this sort of like virus cold war that this pandemic erupts in the midst of. And it's really hard to put those theories to bed entirely when you see these, you know, where the fingerprints are.
So we had a virus cold war in which each side of the war were building their weapons in the same laboratory.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really weird. I mean, I guess, you know, if I can be a conspiracy nut for a second, my brain does start to rattle and say, like, ooh, the very worst case scenario would not be that the U.S. did it or that China did it, but that they did it together. Now, I don't subscribe to that. I don't have any evidence for it. But that's what happens when you have military funding of gain-of-function research. Your brain cannot put to bed entirely the prospect of biological weapons.
What do they call it? Opportunistic bioterrorism? Something like that?
Yeah. I mean, there's the 2001 anthrax attacks definitively traced back to the U.S. bioweapons labs at Fort Detrick.
Well, Alexis Badenmeyer, who is the political director of the Organic Consumers Association and the author of Gain of Function Hall of Fame. You know, the two of us have typically worked on food. We talk about the ways in which we grow our food and what that means to those of us who eat food. And yet here we are talking about something that we created that's eating us. And the more we look at the story, the weirder it becomes. Do you think we're being weird, Alexis?
No, I think it's very logical. And I've, you know, at first I was kind of embarrassed to be researching this topic. And I was pretty skeptical about people who said that there was a lab origin of the pandemic. But what I've realized is there are just some really freaky, weird, extreme versions of genetic engineering and synthetic biology out there. And so, you know, I was mainly concerned about crops that were engineered to either produce their own insecticide or to be resistant to massive amounts of herbicide. Because I knew for sure that the insecticides and the herbicides were things that human beings weren't supposed to be eating. There just isn't enough science that's been done about whether GMOs are safe, and that's by design. Like the government said, we're going to treat them as if they're generally recognized as safe, if they're the same as other crops. And so really, as a campaigner, there are a couple of interesting things about, you know, the safety or lack thereof of genetically modified crops. But the big thing was pesticides. And so we eventually narrowed our work to Roundup. And you know, people said we were anti-science for doing that. And now, finally, people who were exposed to Roundup who got cancer are getting justice. And Bayer is on the hook for billions of dollars.
And what you bring up about your anti-science, it seems like science is being anti-science here in covering up what science has been doing to create these microscopic man-eating viruses. I don't know, we're out of time, Alexis, but wow. Ladies and gentlemen, just do a search for Gain of Function Hall of Shame and read about some of the people who are building our world right now. And you will see, as I have seen, and Alexis has seen, that it really is a COVID-19 military-industrial complex. Thank you, Alexis.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks for your attention to this important cause.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends miss the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.